Hello, everybody. Welcome to Animazing, a beginner's guide to anime. My name is Tristan Miller, and with me is...
Christina Tucker. Wow, sensual.
Yeah, I'm feeling this...
Thursday. You know what they say, a club going up on a Thursday.
So one of us is still sick, folks, and it's not Christina, it's me. I got an old man cough.
My
now.
Immune system is kicking.
Yeah, I really Caucasian.
I know, come on.
Cannot handle.
I didn't even say it. No. He dropped something, not me. I feel like the audience.
You just burped straight into the microphone too. I'm gonna cut all that out.
Sorry, what?
So what episode did we talk about today?
22. We're 22. Really getting into it.
We have
wow.
What? Four more. Three more. One more.
Three.
That was the end. This is the last episode.
I think it's three.
All right.
Three more weeks and then another
four weeks. 4 weeks. 4 weeks. Another month of this garbage. And then
No. 3 weeks and then another 4 weeks.
Yeah, another 2 months of this garbage. And then when does the new one come out?
Like June of next year. Okay. So we're not, it's not going to sync up or anything.
I was hoping maybe. But yeah. Okay. So, what happens?
What's going on? This is 22 called Don't Be. So Asuka's sync rate is on a downward spiral after her defeat at the hands of the 14th Angel. And her frustration with Rei, Shinji, Misato, and Kaji, who she doesn't know is dead yet, is on the rise. Angrier and more disturbed than ever, she's forced to relive her dark, traumatic past during an encounter with the 15th Angel, Ariel.
All right. So,
by the way, if you don't remember, because it was two episodes ago, it was episode 19 when they fought Zeruel. She got her arm sliced off.
Yeah, it was very traumatic.
And then Ava came and ate another
Ava,
angel.
Yeah, that was very whack.
So, yeah.
Truly the whackest.
Oh, wait, no, yeah, sorry. Wait, yeah. Was Zeruel the one where he ate the S2?
Yes, or yes. That was the last angel. We haven't dealt with an angel in like an episode or two.
Okay. So, yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Let's start character by character. All right. So, let's start with Asuka this time, because she's really the star in this episode. We can talk about Shinji later, but anyway. So, yeah. Asuka, we learn a lot about her. One, we learn that her mother worked for Gahern.
So, she has kind of a strained relationship with her stepmother.
Who among us doesn't?
I don't have a step-parent of any kind.
Yeah. Shout out to people, families of divorce, I guess. I don't know. It's hard going through it.
They didn't get divorced. She killed herself. For people watching the episode.
It's hard.
Just really quick.
Well, that's an emotional divorce.
Physical divorce from life.
Yeah, I want to be divorced from this,
so
this plane of existence.
Father.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of bleak conversations. We don't see his face. He has a line where he says, "Perhaps all humans are really dolls." We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, like 5 minutes into the episode, so I'm like, "We're already here." And Christina said, "We've always been here." Like, what are you talking
from,
about?
Like the first episode, I don't know why. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's
That's always interesting about the show.
We're two kind of sleepy beans
today.
That's
the interesting thing about the show is that people are always like, oh my god, it's like a mindfuck. And I'm like, if you were watching from like the second episode, be astute. Read the text.
No.
So she's immediately angry with Rei and Shinji and Misato at the beginning of the episode because basically she had to get saved at the end of the previous fight.
Yeah.
So we see kind of the core of her issues, which is that she both needs and rejects love from others.
Yeah.
And this kind of defines her relationship with Shinji of like she keeps pushing Shinji away and gets mad when he won't like push harder. And it's like he's 14. What is he supposed to like?
Yeah.
He's not a grown man. And we see this back in at her mom's funeral where she promises not to cry. She promises to take care of herself. And she has this like hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Of people who try and take care of her.
Yeah.
Because
her.
It's like like she thinks that it's a reflection of her own weakness.
Yeah. Because of that's the thing that was set up by her mom.
Yeah, we see her in a weird place too in terms of like her on the cusp of adulthood in a weird way of like we have this specific note about her being in pain because of her period.
Yeah.
And her crush on Kaji and this awkward stage of being 14 and, like, not being able to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you just aren't able to do it. And, like, her frustration with that of not being, like,
self-sufficient,
a fully formed person. Yeah.
But despite almost being required to by the lack of a parent
for her whole life. Well, yeah, and also in this specific situation that she's in. Like, she's in such a very specific situation where it's, like, you have to be a very active person in these literal battles.
Yeah.
We also have the angel attack itself, which is, like, the breaking down of her kind of compartmentalizing of her own personality of, like, no, everything I don't want to think about me as a child.
Yeah, everything starts to bleed together. And it's really...
Yeah,
it's a really fascinating sequence.
How have you not seen True Detective?
What?
You just sound like fucking Matthew McConaughey. How have you not seen...
So I was...
Second season's good. I stand by that. Third season I didn't watch because of Mahershala Ali's wigs, but...
I was doing some...
Hey, stop giving black people bad wigs in media. Somebody wrote an article about that for, like, Vulture. Like, please...
Please just...
Find a different person to do whatever you're doing. So let's talk about...
Yeah, that's right. I don't think that just tickled me.
So Misato.
Misato, yeah. What is she doing?
She's immediately taken up Kaji's mantle of being a spy. So she talks to it's not Alba. It's the other one, the other male bridge person.
You can say Bunny.
I just feel like that's objectifying of them.
That's not true because none of them are cute. So
you're wrong, but okay.
I know the one with glasses is cute.
The one that we see in this episode.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I don't care. But basically, Misato goes to him. And by the way, the fact that he's aware of more information than her is telling. She's obviously specifically being
kept out of the loop.
Lied to.
Yeah.
So she finds out from him that there are manufacturing Evangelions, like, everywhere. And they've gone through Unit 13, which will come up in the Rebuild movies, but doesn't really manifest in this show.
Yeah.
Tristan's about to fall asleep. His boy is sleepy.
I'm not. I don't know why you
looking
think
at
that.
Your little eyes. Those beady little eyes.
The preposterous chin.
Ray does nothing in this episode.
No, that's not true.
She stands in an elevator.
And scolds Asuka for not getting her shit together, which is quite cruel.
I don't know. Ray's kind of a huge bitch. I don't know.
She's very cold. Like, because that was the thing that we were talking about. Remember a couple of episodes ago, you're like, why is this Ray's...
She's not mean. She's just a bitch.
No, why is this
Ray's... Much like myself.
No. Why is this Ray so mean when she was, like, a little kid? I'm like, Ray has always been mean. She's just, like... doesn't care about how people feel at all, which is what we call mean.
I mean, that's... Listen. We don't have time to get into what is mean and what is not. I'm just saying,
that's mean.
Ray doesn't do anything. I mean, Ano has basically said that he abandoned her character. I bumped the microphone. He basically said that, like, he couldn't think of what to do with her after the, like... I mean, she's a literal clone.
Yeah.
She doesn't do anything.
She doesn't need to do anything. Yeah.
She's like, what is the thing that Asuka says of, like, why does a machine need to have a brain?
Yeah.
Why
does a weapon need a brain?
Because we're all weak people. Why does it need to be humanoid at all? Because we all just want... Listen, Jet alone had rights.
Stop.
Shinji, by the way, makes me laugh in this episode because he's just having a good day for the first, actually, pretty much the whole episode. He's like, you had a call, Asuka. I'm like, didn't you just go through it last episode? Did you just, like, learn something about yourself? You know what it feels like? Actually, honestly, it feels like this episode was going to come before the previous one.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense either.
Yeah.
They're, like, happening kind of concurrently.
It feels like they're happening simultaneously, almost.
Even though that doesn't make sense, because Shinji would still be, like, it's a weird, we'll it's like, so, is he fine?
I think he might just be like, oh, well, now I know that about me, and then I'm moving on, and I'm cool, and I'm just making pasta or whatever the fuck.
He definitely did learn something about himself.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm drinking some water.
I wasn't gonna keep it in, but then you made the noise, and now I have to.
Yeah, Gendo has a backup plan. Oh. Can I say, with every subsequent rewatch, I do like Gendo more. He's playing, truly playing the long game. And it's also so funny because how do you go from, like, being, like, king of instrumentality of, like, this is my life's work. And then completely changing directions and not letting anybody know about it. Yeah. That's hysterical. Of being like, okay. Quick change. I do just want to bring my wife back
from
to
the
me.
Dead, yeah.
But I'm going to keep playing this the world's longest game.
Can I tell you?
Vis-a-vis my goals.
I had this.
Literally the longest game. Yeah. For eternity.
Yeah. I had this thought, like, Gendo is kind of like, reminds me of Marc Maron much.
Stop it. Not everything is about the comedy.
No, in as much as he looks fine.
What?
With a beard. And then you take that beard away, like you saw in the flashback, and you're like, put it back. That's all.
That was your reference? That he's like Marc Maron and that he looks good with a beard?
he looks scary without a beard.
He also has a side note. I don't think Gendo has a beard.
He has a chin strap. Gendo has a beard.
Does he? This is like that episode of The Office where it's like the Stelio mustache. Oh my god, you're right, he does have a beard. Weird.
I've never
Sorry,
been
you're
wrong.
Right, he has a chin strap and no mustache. Sorry, that fucking sucks. So,
but he looks
he
better
has a backup
than without
plan,
it.
And my favorite thing about Gendo is that him and Misato work on similar levels of, like, they thrive when things are going terrible.
Oh yeah, chaos.
And you can tell this guy's got, like, 6 backup plans. Yeah. So, like, things are going poorly. By the way, long story short, what happens with the angel is not really important. The point is the angel is above Earth's atmosphere. They need a way to get at it. It's communicating with Asuka via her mind.
Yeah.
And trying to, like, learn about her, basically.
Yeah.
And, like, understand human beings. The point is they can't...
Just trying to get to know you, buddy.
The point is they can't shoot an Evangelion up there.
No.
Because
the cord wouldn't reach.
Well, no, specifically for the reason that the Terminal Dogma would be unprotected if they were to spend 20 minutes trying to send something up there. There's just nothing protect. They have one Ava that's functioning now.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
I thought my comment was very fun and good.
I mean, I guess so.
They would need a very long extension cord.
So Gendo goes, get the spear.
It's called the Lance. Hello.
It's a lance of Longinus, which we'll get around to later. We'll get around to that
It's
too.
Called a lance, babe.
Yeah, it's a lance of Longinus. It's a biblical reference again.
Yeah, of
surprise,
it
surprise.
Is.
So he immediately is like, get the lance. Fuyutsuki is like, this is not.
No.
Like, you've been explicitly told not to do this. Which is also another wild thing about the show. Like, this is how we're relayed this information. And it's on one hand, a supernaturalistic thing. We don't get any explanation of what that lance is, where it came from, why he's not allowed to use it. All we hear is him being told, like, hey, just
don't
real quick,
yeah,
you were told not to. And he's like,
I'm going to do it anyway.
Who has no power at all?
Yeah,
he's truly like the type of person who you like bring onto your team, and Gendo's like, yeah, you gotta keep me in line, and then like every time
he's gets every
to keep me in line.
Assistant director.
I mean, yeah, to be honest, he's every
it's
first
so
AD on Earth.
Alright. Yeah, he's like, don't do this, and then they do it. And
like, I'm gonna
then
do it anyway.
Asuka throws it up.
Ray throws it up, I thought.
Yeah, Ray throws it up, sorry, and then kills the angel, but it's stuck up in space now.
It's space, which is
you
a very
can't
funny
get it back. But where was the spear located before?
It was in Lilith's legs, and then when they took it out, Lilith grew back. Lilith's legs grew back. It's very cool. The animation is very gross, but
it
I
is.
Like it. It reminds me of, like, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, or I was thinking Akira.
I wish they had, like stress ball Lilith toys.
Oh, that'd be cute.
With her little smooshy legs.
Like those Oedipo's Doctor Who ones.
I don't know who that is.
That's fine.
Ritsuko is, I think, getting frustrated.
She hates everybody. She is very upset.
It's more like, yeah, the way she refers to the pilots is getting, like, ruder and ruder.
She calls Rey a bitch.
She calls Asuka
a bitch.
She calls Asuka a bitch. Absolutely unsympathetic.
Which is, she's 14.
We'll also get around to later on to her being like, we need a spare.
Yeah, whoa.
Or like, we're gonna have to replace Asuka. Like, we're gonna have to
we
find
don't have
pilot,
a spare, yeah.
Which I think we'll find is not possible. So let's talk big picture.
Big picture.
Tone. We got kind of a continuation of the same dark themes from the last two episodes. Yep. More childhood stuff, more psychoanalysis.
Oh, are we going to get into it? With the psychoanalysis?
No, we're not.
I'm going to have to add in that dangerous method theme again.
No, there's nothing to say about it this time that I didn't say last time. We just see a lot of, like, adult self talking to your child self. We've been through this already. I'm not going to make you guys. One thing I did find interesting, though, was Asuka saying none of this is the real me. Yeah. When she's thinking about, like, her childhood self and also the way she presents to the world of, like, neither of those are the way that she feels. And I thought that was nice.
I mean, I think that's also very relatable for a lot of people because, like, that is the deep frustration. I think we've talked about this before that I have of, like, you never really know who anybody is, you know?
Yeah. Even the angels can't really get a good handle on it.
Even God doesn't know.
We also get, and this is something I brought up last week that I'm really glad came back in a way. I love, like, feeling correct. Does that make sense? I love when something happens and I'm like, oh my God, now I'm correct. Twofold. So, so like last episode,
you make me laugh.
So last episode, I brought up. Please don't push my laptop.
I didn't mean to.
She has rights. So this old bitch has rights. So last episode I brought up a thing about basically women describing themselves as replaceable or being described as replaceable. And in this episode we have Asuka being related to a doll. We have Asuka calling Rei a doll. And we also have Ritsuko referring to them as like tools, like spares or whatever. And then we have this also really interesting parallel of Yui's mom of another woman basically allowing her life to be ruined or at the very least irreparably changed by these contact experiments by Gahern and their goings on. And we see that with Asuka just like we did with Yui, and like them sacrificing their motherhood for the sake of like scientific advancement. Just like an Arrival when you think about it. Let's think about Arrival. Just for a minute. Let's take a moment of silence for the Oscar that Amy Adams should have won for Arrival. It exists out there in like a parallel universe.
This is a very good movie. Except for
Jeremy Renner. Yeah, it should have been somebody else.
Did you see that he deleted his app?
One of the funniest things about it was apparently there was no limit on the number of people that could have the same username.
So it was all just Jeremy.
They had to delete it. There were people doing like illegal things on it. They're like, unfortunately, we've had to shut it down. So we have the famous elevator scene. I can't believe I didn't bring that up.
Can I tell you? I didn't know it was famous.
It's pretty famous.
Yeah, it's pretty iconic. It goes on for too long. It's amazing.
It goes on for
a minute and a half.
It's not a minute and a half.
Three hours?
I
watched all of Lord of the Rings during that time.
One, I think it's high art. Literally, I think it's the most genius thing in the world.
Also, two, it must have saved them so much money.
The thing is, like, in the grand scheme of things, it's probably like 1% of the whole episode's runtime. I don't understand.
You should calculate it out.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, how long is it? Can you get the stats for me?
The stats? Oh my God. Evangelion elevator scene. Well, while I'm looking this up, the thing that I think is interesting about it is it has all the boring tension of being in an elevator. It is an impressionistic.
It's oh, really
wow.
Wonderful.
Somebody. It's a minute. No, that can't be true.
It's a minute.
I think it is a minute and 7 seconds.
Well, so I wasn't wrong?
Well, what's interesting is somebody wrote a 13-minute video essay called In Defense of the Elevator Scene from Evangelion. It's in the Rebuild movies again, by the way. That's how iconic it had gotten. Can I say as a side note, by the way, it's a different, it's re-aired, reanimated, rather, in the director's cut version that we watched.
Okay.
Still, can I say, still, let me see exactly how long it is.
It's pretty long, boss. 27
seconds. Well, not the whole scene. That's the thing.
No,
it's
no,
like,
dude. Just the pause. Just the pause.
It's like 40 seconds long.
Oh, wow.
I so like 40 it. Seconds I think it's out tense. Of, I think it's weird.
Out of
28 times 60 is like
1800 seconds about. So 1800 divided by 30, it is, sorry, no, 30 divided by 1800 is 0.016. So it is 1.6% of the whole episode.
Exactly.
I'm so good at Googling math faster than you. So it's not that much of the episode.
No.
My point
but
is
it
this.
Feels like half
the
of it.
The budget cuts.
The budget coots.
This is, and this has always been my opinion about art, is that sometimes when you don't have as much money as you want,
when you work within constraints,
you gotta do cool things.
When you work within constraints, it's so much better. If you had all the money, because look at the prequels versus the first trilogy of Star Wars.
Well, that was the whole point of like Dogma 95, which we don't have to get around to. The filmmaking movement, Lars von Trier's filmmaking movement, where there were all these kind of like arbitrary constraints, where it was like you can't, let me see if I can look up the actual rules. It was very weird. Shooting must be done on location. The sound must never be produced apart from images or vice versa. The camera must be handheld. The film must be in color. The film must not contain superficial action. Must be 35 millimeter film. The director must not be credited. Temporal and geographical alienation are forbidden. It has to take place where it shot and in the present. And there's all these films that like follow these rules.
Yeah.
To make like the purest, like most chaste films. Anyway.
Yeah.
My point is that it's cool when artists make up arbitrary rules.
Yeah, and it's also really cool when you see that they're working within something. You get like twofold. You get the appreciation of what they've done, and then also how they've done it and why. It's nice. It's cool. Nice. It's like a metatextual thing. It's impressive.
So then we could talk about God and man and all man's right, creation fighting each other, just like in my favorite film, Prometheus. I mean, I
thought you were going to say Percy Jackson.
I wasn't a Percy Jackson tween, by the way. I wasn't. I knew people that were who were very into those, but I was like a year too old.
I was into Series Unfortunate. Oh, that's unfortunate. I was into Series Unfortunate Events because I was depressed as a child.
All those kids are fucked up now.
Yeah, man.
By the way, why is it unfortunate that I was an Aragorn kid? Those books were very good. The issue was he took too long to create the third one, and by that point I was like 16, and I got
All right. We can't get into Aragorn Rand.
I've moved
right
on.
Now.
Fine.
Okay. Thank you.
So Ea Missato has a very good line where she says that Evas are born from Adam, the very beings that caused the second impact. Caused seems unfair. I don't think it's Adam's fault. I think it's Gendo's fault specifically. Yeah. So she says we human beings use even the things that try to destroy us, such as human nature, which is kind of an interesting. We have a similar line from Rey in like episode 6 where she's like, human beings will like shoot at things that they're afraid of and like set fire to things that they're afraid of and like use things that are damaging to get rid of their own fears. Yeah, and there's that Prometheus line about everybody wanting to kill their own father, which I think is always fun. What a good movie. Y'all really didn't,
understand it. I love that movie.
It's so good. Anyway.
It's really good.
So let's talk about what Nerve is up to. This is my last big section because we get a lot of information. One, we find out that they're building Evas through Unit 13 at other locations.
Seven other locations across the world.
And we know about
Germany.
We know about Germany. We know about the two in the U.S.
Yep.
We find out about Paris in the rebuild movies. I don't know where the other three places are.
Botswana.
I think there's one other in
Australia.
Japan. There's one other in Japan because don't they go to like Hakone or something?
There was one. They also said this message comes from what was it, Beijing? So I assume there's a outpost there.
I don't remember. It doesn't.
It comes
really
from China.
Matter.
I'm sure there's one in China.
So they're speeding up the process. Sele is really, really pushing for this to be almost done.
Which, you know, is well within their right, because, like, people have been dying. Like,
well, we'll
a lot
find
of
out.
Attacks
we'll
lately.
We'll find out in a minute why they're
pushing it. Yeah. It's because they want Gendo gone.
No, we'll find out why specifically they're pushing it now. They've wanted Gendo gone for the past 15 years. Third impact is...
How old is Gendo, do you think? 40? 45?
Son is 14... Yeah, probably 40. 45?
So for the last 45 years, yeah. I've worn gynecologist.
Since he was a baby. probably.
Like so the seat of the opening impact. Seat of Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh my god. Wow. What a I just had like a visceral emotional experience. I used to listen to those songs constantly and just cry in my room because I wished I was like out there having friends. Yeah. Y'all in the crowd. This is what my standard would be. It would just be like, y'all ever cried a fucking Hunchback of Notre Dame soundtrack? Y'all know what I'm talking about.
To be honest, I think a lot of millennials would know what you're talking about.
A lot of ugly women understand what I'm talking about. Can I get an So, third impact. There's a very interesting conversation that happens, and it flies by, and I asked Tristan to rewind it, and we couldn't get the computer to do it. There's a moment where...
Pardon me. Sorry about that.
First of all, Misato says this out loud, which I don't remember happening. Misato says out loud... basically, I'm worried that if the Ava, she says specifically that if the Ava comes in contact with Adam, the third impact will occur.
Yeah, because that's what happened last time, right?
Yeah, why does she think that?
Is she dumb? I don't know. I don't know.
Because at first I thought she said, if the angel comes in contact with Adam, and I was like, yeah, we've discussed that a million times. We had Rey go down and put the spear in there like 6 episodes ago.
Yeah.
What does she think the second impact was? She thought it was an Ava touching Adam? Well, I don't understand why she says that.
I don't know.
No, because that's not what second impact is either.
I don't know.
It's very weird. So...
I can't answer that for you, honey.
The thing that I find most fascinating is this. She says it out loud.
Yeah. And no one corrects. Like,
no, Gendo does.
Oh, really?
He was like, I wouldn't worry about it. Basically, that's what he says. Let me see if I can find the exact quote. Episode 22.
Don't worry about it, dog. It's fine.
No, I would really like to read it back because it was a fascinating quote. First of all, she says accidentally, which, well, like, there's so many... How would that happen accidentally?
I don't know.
She said there's a possibility that the contact of Adam and Ava will cause third impact. That's too dangerous. Commander Ikari, please do not do that. And Gendo says... Oh, no, I thought Gendo...
What does Gendo say?
I can't figure it out. I don't know. Let me see.
I need to know, babe. Babe.
Please stop. Shut up. You're making fun of me. It says, Gendo rejects Misato's fear.
Gendo?
I said Gendo. You know Gendo, the final gender. It says, Gendo rejects Misato's fear that if Ava comes accidentally in contact, the third impact will occur. And then she, in her mind, says,
ooh,
that isn't a true story. That's a lie. The second impact was not caused by the contact with an angel. And it was, but not by an Ava. And it's just such a weird line because it's like...
Mm-hmm. It is
why
weird.
Did Kaji tell her that? I have a lot of questions. My question is this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. What?
I think that Kaji was maybe misled the whole time.
Probably. I mean, why... Would that not be the case? Oh, boy, she's tippy-tapping away.
I'm sorry, I'm tippy-tapping.
Ooh, she's doing research on the fly. Sorry. That's how you know it's a hot story, folks.
Hot story about a show that came out 15 years ago.
It's that spotlight up in this bitch.
I wish I had a real job.
I wish I was making a difference in any way, shape, or form.
So she just makes some weird comment that I'm like, where are you getting that? Gendo says, nah. but what I think is, is she still referring to the thing in the basement as Adam?
Yeah, I think she thinks that's
still?
It. Yeah, I think she thinks that's what that is. And I think
Miss
Kaji...
Muffy Honey the Intel.
Myth busted.
You ever see that post, Muffy Honey the Carbs?
Yes. Yes, I have.
I think about that maybe once a day. suppose it's like Mumpy's lunch is two sandwiches and a bread roll.
Yep.
Mumpy Honey the Carbs. I think it's Mumpy Sis the Carbs.
It is Mumpy Sis.
Sorry.
Oh, I love to see you laugh.
The point is this.
Wish I could have done it.
Does he know that she is mistaken? Or is that actually a plot hole? It's purely theoretical. I'm just having a conversation. Does he know that she means Lilith, not Adam?
I don't know. I have no speculation on this.
The fact that at this point of the show, with three episodes left, we have still like a thing in the show that's being incorrectly referred to.
Yeah.
Buck wild. Yeah. I honestly, to this day, think that it was just a mistake. Probably. I don't think it was like a cool switch. Just a journey.
Yeah. You can justify anything, though, man.
So, let's talk about that spear.
That lance. It's called a lance. Hello.
You're a lance.
Have you ever seen Knight's Tale?
Yes.
Yeah, it's called a lance. Hello. You know, it's from Knight's Tale.
Not from a Knight's Tale.
Yeah, it is. It's called a lance.
Hello. Oh, I thought you meant the Lance of Lodges is from.
No!
I saw that show once and I got nothing out of it. It looks like it was filmed on a back lot.
It wasn't. It was filmed in Prague, actually.
That sucks. Yeah. It looks like it was filmed in like the back of a dusty
stable. It looks like a Renaissance fair.
Yeah.
It's very fun. It's a very good movie.
They filmed it abroad?
Yeah, in Prague.
Why? Mm, who directed that?
Shit, I don't know. Let me look it up. Same fucker that did the Order, which was a terrible movie, also starring Heath Ledger.
No,
I've seen every single
fully
Heath
alive
Ledger
during
movie.
That time. I think I was like four when I started.
Directed by Brian Hilgand, who is known for such hits as Legend, 42, written by.
Oh, I'm sorry. He directed Legend.
No, he direct it too. He wrote it, and also 42, my favorite movie.
Side note, he also wrote Mystic River.
He also directed Payback, straight up,
okay,
starring Mel Gibson.
We can't talk about this anymore.
And Payback 1, as well.
So, long story short, Spear of Longinus, we're almost done, by the way, if you'd let me finish.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought...
Spear of Longinus is used to kill Ariel. In Christianity, it's one of the spears that... stabbed Jesus
Christ,
on the cross.
Yeah.
Love the motion you just did, like stabbing a steak in the oven.
When the blood and the vinegar comes out of him.
So I also wanted to talk a little bit about the Christianity of this episode, which, as we all know, you have to analyze with a grain of salt, because, like, some of it was included
not
for aesthetic purposes.
Salt.
No. New Testament, baby. So,
My biblical reference off the top of my head wasn't good enough for you.
I mean, just in this case. Otherwise, I'd be on the same page as you. I love some Old Testament stuff.
I know.
Man,
Yahweh was weird.
I think I'm more of an Old Testament girl. Something I say on a date.
Can we be honest? Number one, you are. You love a wrathful...
I love...
wrathful, scary God. I'm more of a...
You know, I think revenge is one of the most beautiful human impulses. So keep that in mind. So,
I love you.
So the doctor says humans make dolls in their own image. If God exists, we might just be dolls for him. My favorite thing about that line is the like twist at the end, because you expect him to say like humans make dolls in their own image. If God exists, you know, we're made of God's image. But that's not where he keeps it. He's like,
we're probably dolls
dumb
too.
Objects. And I'm like, oh, what an interesting way to read what's supposed to be an uplifting thing.
Yeah.
We get Handel's Messiah in this episode.
A banger.
Is it Handel?
Handel. Can I tell you? Fun.
A banger. We actually get two songs.
Absolutely
we get two movements of Messiah.
Can I tell you?
Like to hear. Oh, God.
Every Easter growing up, my mother would play that.
I thought you were going to say she would sing it.
No, she would just play it on... She had a two-disc or three-disc set.
It's
of
a banger. We're going to get some Bach later on. Ooh, it's going to go really hard.
I love Bach. Brandenburg, baby...
Don't know that reference.
It's the Brandenburg Concertos of Bach.
I'm gonna kill myself.
Okay, so
no, I don't. Listen, that's like the only intellectual pursuit outside of theater.
You don't like classical music?
It's not that I don't like it. I like it.
But anyway, she would play it every year, all day, all Easter. She would wake us up with it. We'd be sent to bed with it. It was an obsession with my mother. But that being said, it's the whole... If you haven't listened to all of Handel's...
They all sound the same, yeah.
No, they all sound really good, is what I was going to say.
Oh, I was going to say...
It's really good. It's a great piece.
Every
it's
movement like, on Messiah sounds exactly
it's
the
It's like,
same.
Okay, so the concept albums, my top three concept albums... Handel's
Messiah,
Messiah
part 1, 2, and 3.
Then American Idiot. And then Welcome to the Black Parade.
Carrie and Lowell. I've only listened to like 2 albums.
Don't get me started about Tommy. I don't think it's good.
Messiah, Handel. Which, by the way.
You gotta get a handle on this Messiah. Good.
Hallelujah and Worthy is the Lamb. Both of which.
Oh, they're
the
good.
Only two that are about the books of Revelation. The rest are about like John and whatever.
Yes.
Which is about like new heaven and new earth to replace the old heaven and earth. No more suffering and death.
And
resurrection
also,
of the dead and Christ's glorification in heaven.
Also,
which is like,
literally the word revelation means to learn something about something. So that's good too.
With, it is good.
Yeah,
it, hey, hey, everybody. It is good. Let's talk about it.
It fits thematically is what I mean.
Thematically. And that's the thing that makes me like,
I'm
taking the grain of salt with a grain of salt. Does that make sense? Of like, I know people are very eager to be like, it's all aesthetic. And I'm like, yes.
No, it's not.
It's not all this. I mean, some of it is. A lot of the crosses are not serving any purpose. There's no reason for Lilith to be on a cross, really. But she could be on like a slab. She could be tied up. It doesn't really matter. But I do.
Like Penelope Pitt stuff.
No, I don't know that reference.
All right. Snidely Whiplash, do you know that?
Nope.
Oh, fuck, I'm old.
I'm really young.
Yeah. I'm really young.
But I don't think that, like, using something from Revelation, possibly the more famous of the books outside the Gospels, is, like, completely uninformed. And I think there's a way to make choices that are purely aesthetic without making meaningless choices. I don't think that those two
it
things are...
It doesn't diminish it,
Yeah. So, anyway. And those are my 2 songs, because obviously.
Oh, they're so good. I love Handel. Who would you say is your favorite classical composer?
I'm a big Dvorak person.
Okay.
Love a Symphony of a New World. Listen to it constantly.
I like Debussy, obviously.
I know you do.
Listen to Clair de Lune at least once a day.
I know you
It soothes me. That and...
soothes me.
What is that?
Okay, while you're thinking about this, I'm going to open
the
question.
He does
the
Four Seasons. Chopin.
Oh.
I was like, Frederick. What's his last name? Chopin. I like Chopin.
You know my boy, Freddy.
Yeah. Also, huge fan of Bach growing up. It's very methodical. Very nice for people who have obsessive compulsive.
Impossible to play, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I like a Chopin. I like a Rachmaninoff. I was looking through my playlist. Anyway, we're
yeah,
good.
Yeah. We can't
so,
get into
it. Our next 2 questions are as follows.
All right.
We got 2 questions. Oh my god, I fucked up the quotes. Oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
Don't be a dip. All right.
Are we talking like this? Is that what we're doing?
You can't do it. Your mom's not from New Jersey.
I just sound like Dustin Hoffman when I do it, though.
It's not that. His voice is not that bad.
Yeah, sounds like.
So our first question is, why exactly is Lilith restrained? This
no,
is
no,
one of the
fair.
Thousands of questions that's not really ever answered by the show. You just have to kind of, I mean, I'm sure it's answered in the manga. I'm sure it's answered in the classified information. In fact, I know that it is, but it's like, you know, figure it out, I guess. So Lilith is restrained on a cross in Central Dogma for most of the series. It's being crucified for a couple of reasons. This is an answer from 4 years ago. Wow. On Reddit. One, this is another thing that's kind of visually shown but not really explained. She's where the LCL is coming from. She's just like making LCL.
She's just pissing out goo.
Yeah. They also keep her restrained because one, they're like using parts of her body to make clones, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Also her legs are used to create Unit 1.
Mm-hmm.
So she's basically just being, like, harvested.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it's not, like, entirely clear, like, what they think she would do.
Probably if
she
run away.
She can't move. She doesn't move.
She doesn't move?
No. She doesn't.
Sorry.
So the Spear of Longinus.
Yeah.
Somebody asked, actually, what
Spear
I think.
Spear of Longinus.
Somebody asked what I think Spear is a very good question. If they had that lying around, they could have used it to kill the other angels and not throw it away. And it didn't help that the spear was used specifically just to kill that angel.
That's yeah. true. They could have
They could have just been using it as like a sword this whole time.
Yeah.
The only thing that kind of ruins that is the fact that Sele was like, don't.
Yeah, don't you do it.
And this is basically the answer. The Spear of Longinus, aside of being an ace in the hole for, like, emergencies, is really important to Sele's plans. Nerve was not permitted by Sele to use the spear freely. When presented with dire circumstances where Gendo could justify its use, even despite it being irretrievable, he seized the opportunity to get it off the table. So he definitely was like, you can tell by how quickly he comes up with it. I'm like yeah. You know what, actually? Yes.
Let's use the spear. I don't want it around.
This is one action that contributed to the escalation between Nerve and Sele for reasons that we'll see again. It's pretty important to what Sele wants to do.
Okay.
With instrumentality. I just thought I would explain that to everyone.
That's good. That's nice. I would not have.
Oh, would you like to know where the spear's from? I feel like we should talk about that.
Yeah, sure. Quick. Like in the universe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like biblically.
Okay, I was going to say, we already talked about that.
No, like in the universe. Again, this is not explained. It's just like.
It's just there.
Show. It's frustrating. But I did find myself like wandering to the next episode and thinking about Carolyn. I'm like, damn, this show does make me emotional though. So I guess I'm Boo Boo the Fool. So. One, the spear is a life form. It is a live thing.
It is alive.
It is close to a god and thus able to put a seed of life into suspended animation. It basically holds Lilith from growing, and it can do the same to Adam.
Yeah.
The first ancestral race prepared this as a countermeasure in the event that a seed of life, progenitor entity, in parentheses, did not follow their own goals.
Okay.
It's thought that a spear acting as Lilith's counterpart was separated from it by a shock at the time of first impact. So Lilith doesn't have a spear. The spear that they're using is Adam's. For the purpose of ordering the path to God, Gendo and Sele brought Lilith's growth to a point just before its final stage, and to temporarily delay this, they are having Nerve transport the Spear of Longinus that was paired with Adam. So they just have it.
Yeah.
Because it came to Earth with Adam.
Okay. And now it's floating around the moon.
Yep. In fact, doesn't it land on the moon?
It doesn't. It goes. It's in an orbit, a lunar orbit. So it's floating around the moon.
All right.
Because if it landed on the moon, they could probably get up there. But it's in the. I know.
Could we? Could we get up there?
Oh, yeah, because we use the UFOs that are real. So.
Wait. Sorry.
Like. That like Captain Jack Sparrow, like lashes turtles together. Okay, what do you rate the episode?
Really call me, I'm good.
What do you rate the episode, baby?
7 out of 10. I don't like this one that much. I'll rate it lower than that. I'll give it a 5 out of 10. I think it's a weak follow up to last week.
Yeah, I'd give it a 6. Because, like, I liked all the stuff, but I didn't enjoy watching it. Does that make sense? Like, I enjoyed the information, but I didn't need it presented in this way. All right.
Interesting.
Yeah, I liked knowing
more. Very
good
point.
But didn't
like it. Next episode is 23.
23.
It's called Ray 3.
Ooh.
Also, there are 26 episodes. I don't know why I keep saying 25.
I don't know either. I'd like to thank Ajun and JB for use of the track One Summer's Night, a cover of One Summer's Day. You can find that on SoundCloud and Bandcamp on the album for Hayao Miyazaki.
The album.
Hey, rate, review, subscribe, all that nonsense. It helps us.
Nonsense?
We have a Patreon, patreon.com/TristanJMiller and /ChristinaTucker. And remember, as always, anime was a mistake.
Pay my bills.